Hi everyone, we're Journey to the West. I'm V and I'm here with Jay.
Hey, I'm Jay.
And I'm here with Sen.
Hey everyone, I am Sen.
And today's topic we're going to bring up is white tears. And specifically, we're referring to our personal interactions with white women, aka Becky, according to Beyonce's song in Lemonade Mouth. Just in general, refer to our interactions as Asian American women with Becky, or Asian women in general. So why did we decide to do this topic today? Well, in a nutshell, I've personally had a lot of white women be allies to me when it comes to dealing with my struggles in life. But at the same time, I've also had polarizing experiences where I've also been disempowered by white women too. And at the same time, it feels like their racism and their actions are kind of like downplayed or dismissed. Like people tend to excuse white women's actions more. But that's just my personal take. Anything you want to add, Jay?
Yeah, actually, I noticed that happening recently when news broke that this white woman who's a lawyer in the OC was caught just like ranting about Asian people in a very racist way. And I noticed that there were some folks out there who were trying to figure out why she was racist. Somebody tried to dig into her personal life and was like, oh, she dated an Asian guy before, and that's why she's salty, because he broke up with her. But like, it doesn't matter. Why are we making excuses for racism? Why are we trying to explain it? It's still racism. That doesn't fucking help the fact that she's abusing us. Yeah, I just don't want people to not take this kind of stuff seriously just because it's coming from women. Because they're still white and they still benefit from a society that is white supremacist. And I hoped that today we can kind of illustrate what the problem is and flesh it out for you so people don't miss it when they see it.
Especially when the Orange County incident happened, a lot of people really blew it up and publicized it a lot. But there were other incidents beforehand where there were white women and in general white people being racist against Asians, but they don't get as much publicity. So I found that really like, really? She got more publicity? This one woman from Orange County out of all the places got publicity for this. And another thing is that, unfortunately, there were a couple of famous YouTubers who happened to also be Asian American who kind of excused her actions. I won't say who, but I think you all know who they are. But yeah, so we are going to bring in some personal anecdotes, I think, with what really got us to realize that white women can be the problem. Anything you would like to tell us, Jane? And then Sen?
Well, I have a lot by virtue of the fact that I work in customer service. My boyfriend also has a job where he interacts with a lot of people on a daily basis, so we tend to end up feeling the worst of the worst people. And in my personal experience, the worst customers that I have to interact with are white women. Specifically, the ones who are more middle-aged are the more problematic ones. You know, the ones with the "may I speak to the manager" haircut. Basically, a lot of complaining about stuff that the store is not responsible for. Demanding compensation, free stuff for problems that, like, they themselves even caused in the first place. I've had parents chastise me for not parenting their children. Like, you are the parent, it's your job. It's not my fault that your kid fucking ate some candy on the floor. Like, what the fuck? Treating me in a dismissive way. Or like I'm, you know, not a person, subhuman. Like I'm a servant for them. Things like that. And usually it's passive aggressive stuff. Usually it's more subtle microaggressions. You get the feeling that they're looking down on you and they're just treating you in this way that makes you feel like you know that they think less of you. Unfortunately, I've had the luck, I guess, of experiencing things that are more physical. Like a few weeks ago at work, I don't think I necessarily talked about this with a lot of people. There was this white woman who became violent. Like she was banging on shit inside the store. She threatened me. She flipped me off. Tried to damage another customer's car and got into an altercation with him. And so like I was almost going to call the cops on her, but she had left really quickly after that. So I figured there was no point because they'd just come and she wouldn't be there. But yeah, shit like that happens. Something that I did talk about on Twitter, as well as my boyfriend, was when this white woman accosted us in the parking lot. We were sitting in our car, and she actually opened the passenger side door, which is my side, to yell at us and tried to spit on us. And then she called the cops on us and said things like, go back to your country, that sort of stuff. Fortunately, the officers sided with us and she was asked to leave. And we weren't arrested like she wanted us to be. She specifically said, I'm going to get you arrested. Fortunately, that didn't happen. But I mean, let's not pretend that white women are harmless. Because this shit happens and it's real. Anyway, I'll stop there.
Anything you'd like to add, Sen?
I've never really experienced like the outright, very overt type of stuff that Jay's been talking about. Because the stuff Jay talks about, I'm just like, I just can't believe that it, not that it still happens, but I just can't believe that how crazy white women can be. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they have this immunity of being women. So any act of violence or aggression isn't taken as seriously. And even if they are, like everyone else is visibly distressed or disturbed, it's not like they would get vilified as much. Or, like, usually people kind of stand on the sidelines and kind of look upon it. Like, there's been a lot of, like, incidents in Australia, especially on public transport. I think one of them was, like, a white woman, like, yelling obscenities at an Asian woman and her child, I think, because they were sitting on the priority seating for like handicapped people and elderly people or something, and she wasn't even that old. But I think after the whole like recording got became viral, she was talking about how she had a bad job interview and she was just having a bad day, which so fucked, to be honest.
Oh, so that causes racism.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, she got named and shamed, and I think any job opportunities are pretty null for her. But yeah, it happens quite a bit. I was just never that person to encounter it. A lot of the stuff I experience is very passive aggressive. I think it did happen a lot when I was like in secondary school, but I just thought it was just like young high school bullshit. But it still continues on, especially if you work in customer service. Like, women acting very entitled, kind of being, again, very visibly aggressive, sometimes even yelling at your face. Yeah, just acting up. And everyone obviously being uncomfortable, but people don't really take that seriously. But it really does take a toll on you. I think, like, a very, like, poignant thing you have to, like, our experiences specifically is that a parallel that people have been saying is, like, white men are like very homophobic and they crack gay jokes all the time and they have like really bad toxic masculinity issues. And it's not something that we are presented as like Asian women because they tend to like not show those cards or their hand until you might get more intimate with them or you're in a space where it's like very white male dominated. And it's not like I didn't believe what those people have said, but it was just very hard for me to imagine until I like experienced it myself. So when we talk about like white women being very passive aggressive, it does sound very vague and it might sound like, oh, you're just making problems out of nothing. But it's something that us women, especially women who of color, experience specifically. Like that passive aggression is not something you always get as a man. Like you might get it, but we encounter it more because of the circles we hang around with and stuff, if that really makes any sense. But yeah, I just can't think of like very particular anecdotes are as crazy as what Jay's mentioned.
Because the thing is, at the core, like, I kind of get why. Because, like, especially with our unique community case with Asian American women, like, most of us, I have to admit, like, have been pretty excusatory when it comes to Chad's problems. So it kind of seems like Becky understands Asian issues a lot more than a Chad would ever, but that doesn't mean that we don't experience racism from white women. I'd say my experiences with them are pretty split. Like, for example, I remember my freshman year, I had two white girls who were my roommates, and they were kind of just exclusionary and would just ditch me whenever, like, I wanted to try to hang out with them because I wanted to, like, for example, bond with them as roommates and all that. But in the end, one of them made a passive-aggressive, like, spread a passive-aggressive rumor about me, and then it just became a whole shit show within my floor, and I was crying. It was the first quarter ever of me being in college, by the way, so I was just, like, crying about it. And then eventually, I moved out to a different dorm and all that, but that's just one of the many examples I could think of at the moment. I'm pretty sure I had a lot more anecdotes, but, like, in the end, like, this girl and I actually, she kind of apologized to me and we reconciled. It's one of the things that I would say. I just feel like white women tend to get away with a lot when it comes to racism. But then the reason why I feel complicated about also being with white women was because, like, when I was going through my worst of the worst times, especially when it came to very few people around me who know what happened to me, the first people who actually stood up for me and didn't help me get my life back together were actually white women who helped me knew that I could, you know, get my life back together, start over, and just like be there for me, especially when I was struggling, were white women too. Like, still, it doesn't mean I can't call them out. Like, they benefit, like, they have an easier time when it comes to the job market. Like, I am very involved in the beauty community, and the thing is, especially in the Asian beauty community, with the rise of K-beauty and J-beauty, white women are more likely to get sponsorships and free stuff, which is something I probably will have to work twice as hard to get in order to even get my channel noticed or even get to that industry. I'd probably have to be the best of the best while a white woman can be put a little less effort. We're not saying they don't work hard, but compared to women of color in general have to excel in everything they do and be twice as best and be like the best of the best. I'm talking like really have clout in order to like make it, at least in the beauty industry, you know? It's kind of like a rigged game that favors, even though white women are favored, the ones who are really behind like the standard of beauty or the standards, Eurocentric standards in the first place, are like white men too. So white men are the cause, white women can be the enabler, which is why we're going to talk about how white women do systematically benefit from the status quo right now. In fact, there were certain stats that mentioned that white women do benefit the most from affirmative action, but my thoughts on that. I think there's some truth to it, but I'm not exactly sure. I haven't done conclusive like research myself.
Well, historically, white women have played a prominent role as a group in being complicit in upholding white supremacy. Women's suffrage back in the day was rooted in racism because, let's be honest, it wasn't women's suffrage, it was white women's suffrage at the time. And it didn't just exclude women of color, but also threw men of color under the bus. In fact, one of the arguments for giving white women specifically the right to vote was to offset the votes of newly freed black men, who they described in their campaign as violent, threatening, and animalistic. You see that reflected today in the fact that the majority of white women aligned again with white men to vote Trump into office. There are plenty of historians who can show you how white women acted as the glue that held together white supremacist organizations like the KKK. So they're not absolved of their responsibility and their role in the oppression of all people of color. A general example, if there's a dispute between a white woman and any person of color, and it's a he said, she said kind of situation, let's take a wild guess who wins that conflict. It's probably going to be the white woman because she's white. So let's not kid ourselves that white women do not have privilege.
It's especially demeaning towards like survivors or those who have dealt with like domestic violence and sexual assaults or any kind of violence. Like, the white woman's going to get more paid attention to in those movements, especially with Me Too, sadly.
Yeah, Me Too was actually started by a black woman and appropriated by white women and is now attributed to white women.
Yeah, the irony behind it all. See, this is what we mean when sometimes white women tend to, actually, most of the time, white women do overstep their boundaries when it comes to dealing with women of color and their problems. This is why we need intersectional feminism. And especially when it comes to, like, job market, like, when we're trying to when they talk about even leveling the playing field, it's probably most likely going to be white women who benefit from that, by the way. At least when I'm looking at stats regarding, like, firms or any, like, when it comes to entry-level jobs. Yeah, being white has its perks.
And, like, even in management, because the higher you go up the ranks, the more white people and the less people of color there are. And I believe it's in the tech sector that there are more white women in executive positions than Asian men and Asian women combined. They make up a higher percentage of all executive positions. So it's pretty clear who has the power in that situation.
You know, personal, like, related to my mom, but my mom wanted to be in the beauty industry at one point, and then like she kind of got basically scammed by this white woman who was like, oh, I'm gonna help you make it to the industry, but my mom ended up having to sell door to door while white women get to profit off those who sell door to door, and they're the ones who get their faces when it comes to brand sponsorships, just saying. But yeah, this is see what we mean. Before we get to the next talking point, Sen, is there anything you want to add?
Not really in particular.
Oh, how about Ruby Hamad? Because I'm pretty sure she's Australian. Ruby Hamad wrote this article about how white women... how they weaponize their tears.
Oh, okay. I think Ruby Hamad is like a Middle Eastern like kind of activist writer. And she wrote this article about white tears, like how white women weaponize their white tears against minorities and other women of color. And she had published that, and maybe like a few days or weeks later, she got a message from a black woman in the US regarding the black woman sharing that article on her personal Facebook page And apparently two white women, her co-workers, saw her sharing that article, reported that to HR to try and get her fired. And I think she did get fired.
Yeah, she got fired.
Yeah. And then the black woman messaged Ruby about, Ruby Hamad about it. And then Ruby made a whole thread. I think the black woman alleged that she had been a quote-unquote problematic individual in the workplace because she had called out the white people, the white women, for being racist in the past and, you know, just generally trying to stand up for herself. So, like, she felt like this was an excuse to boot her out completely. And the white women cited that this was racism and this was attacking them. And it was basically peak white fragility, but white women specifically. And that's what kind of what I mean by this passive aggression. Like, they'll hold this resentment and they'll just find a time to try to get you fired, which hasn't happened to me personally, but it happened to my mom. The only reason why she didn't get fired was because she was an exceptional worker and, like, they couldn't afford to lose her because of the skill she had. So what happened after she had reported this to, like, upper management was her supervisor, who was the one who was being, like, a bitch to her, she was basically monitoring my mom to see just when she would fuck up and try to get a fire that way, but it didn't happen. So she just gave up on that. But it was, like, really distressing hearing that because it's not much I can do to help. I mean, I could write, like, 5,000 letters, which I've done before, but it doesn't really help. And the thing is, it's very interesting. I'm getting off track here, but the upper management do know she's fucking crazy, but they don't give enough shits to actually fire her. And it just goes back to this concept of white solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of branching into, like, the next topic of, like, how white women can be allies. It's the problem is that they won't call out their own as readily or as, I guess, viciously. They'll do this whole thing where they'll sit around and be like, oh, just wait till all the facts. And I don't mean just attack someone relentlessly, but it's just they have this very, like, light hand when it comes to addressing other white women for their privilege or racism. Like, I've seen so many, like, tweets where the women go, oh, you just need to pick your battles, like, this probably isn't the one where you should blow it up. And I it just really rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, you can say this in a nicer way. Like, does it matter, really? You're not the one who's getting abused right now. It's just, yeah, it's annoying.
I think white women can be allies by actually just, like, giving the mic to other women of color. Like, let them talk about their experiences. For example, instead of just saying, oh, I feel about this way, you could just retweet that person's thread, or you could just retweet an Asian American coworker's work. You could support them. You could support them without being, like, you know, putting your voice all over. And another thing, though, okay, again, because I understand this situation is that Asian American women, again, have been known to also side with white men too, aka Chad. So I could see the case for us being somewhat different, but still, I feel like white women need to know that their experiences are different from Asian American women. But yeah, it doesn't mean I'm not gonna call out Chad. We already called out Chad. I could diss Chad anytime, but yeah, we gotta remember white women, Becky can also be Chad's enabler too. So yeah, that's my whole spiel. Any last minute thoughts, Jay? And then Sen, before we head off.
I think you summed it up pretty well. Basically, amplify instead of speak over us or speak for us. Boost our voices with your privilege.
Yeah, just basically stop being bitches, shut up. And I mean that in the nicest way. It's not like we hate all white people, but the problem, I think, it just goes back to the whole concept of racism, is they don't really get that it's not just individual actions. Like, white women know they can leverage their femininity over other women and other men of color. So again, they use white tears, they use the fact that they can be overly aggressive and get away with it. Yeah, again, like obviously the white power structure don't really see that as a threat, so they allow it to happen. And obviously when it comes, again, comes down to calling their own out, they're very reluctant, or they just won't go as hard as they would if it was a white man being racist. So to be an ally, you really have to self-examine your biases and make sure that you're consistent and fair about it.
So, yeah. Anyways, thank you for listening to us. Don't worry, we're still going to call out Chad, too, for anyone watching out there. So, yeah. I'm V. You could just follow the JTGW main account. And Jay?
I'm Jay on Twitter. I'm Jay underscore M-A-R-A-A-N.
I'm S-E-N underscore T-I-N-T on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Just before we go, we had... Oh, crap. We had some people leave us reviews. I think we should thank them.
Awesome.
Hold up. Okay, so the people that left review, Nick 22218 and Edward J.Q. Tian. Thanks for leaving reviews. It really helps us out. And we really appreciate you guys leaving feedback and enjoying this podcast.
Thanks, you too.
And we hope to see you all soon in the next episode.
Bye.